I am Merida, firstborn descendant of Clan Dunbrog, and I'll be shooting for my own hand.
Christmas Eve, he phones in one of those radio call-in shows and tells them, I need a new wife.
Oh, you're kidding. That's so sweet.
Now he's obsessed with this one woman who wrote me.
You serious? Yeah, she wants to meet me at the top of the Empire State Building.
On Valentine's Day.
You have a choice. We have a choice. Right now.
Ever since the comet was discovered, we've been hoping and working for the best. But we've also been planning for the worst.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Naked!
Why are you
wet? Don't look at me! You know, just go.
Fine.
Go take a shower,
fine.
You stink.
Nice tattoo, by the way.
Never let your guard down. You expect a battle to be fair. A battle will never be fair.
What do some of those films you're hearing there have in common? Those are some of the top grossing films ever directed by women. There are 1,438 directors, writers, and producers behind the 100 top grossing films of 2016. And of all of those creative people, less than one in five is female. That's a finding published by the University of Southern California's Annenberg School. They analyzed the top 900 grossing movies over the last 9 years to identify who's being represented in Hollywood, both on screen and behind the camera. They also found that of the speaking characters in the 100 top movies of 2016, less than a third were women, and non-white groups also accounted for less than a third. And of all those top 900 grossing movies of the last 9 years, there were just 34 unique female directors. Joining me now to talk about some of the challenges of breaking into Hollywood is Gillian Robespierre, co-writer and director of several movies, including Obvious Child and Landline. Gillian Robespierre, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. What was your reaction to some of those numbers from the report that I just quoted?
I guess they always make my stomach churn a little bit, but I've been pretty well aware of those numbers for a long time. I worked on the other side of the film industry for about 7 years before I directed Obvious Child, and I worked at the Directors Guild of America, where those numbers and stats were being told to me on a weekly basis. And also, when I first started film school, I entered into the world thinking I would be an editor or perhaps a documentary filmmaker. I never thought I would have the ability or chance to break into directing. I didn't have many female filmmaker role models to sort of look at. Nicole Holofcener was a big idol for me in the 90s and sort of made me realize that I could tell stories, and personal ones and human stories, and that there was an appetite for them. And that sort of encouraged me to try. But it did take a while, and I think no matter what gender you are, it's really difficult to break into Hollywood. And my advice, and I hate giving advice, but it's maybe not to do it the traditional way, and just to go out and tell your story on a very low budget and with a small crew and without really asking for permission. And hopefully your story and film resonates and you can enter the business that way, on your own terms.
In the real world of filmmaking and directing, what are some of the main obstacles for women breaking in, for women of color breaking in, frankly, for anyone who's not a white guy director to break in?
Yeah, it's giving the opportunity. And I think that that's the hardest part of breaking into anything, is just getting your first shot at it. But part of that is not asking for anyone's permission, but to go out and do it yourself. Cameras are so available. Creative, intelligent, smart collaborators are, I think, always willing to take a little bit of a pay cut to tell an interesting story. So again, it's just really to go about it in a creative way, and to not necessarily find your money through typical investors or production companies, but to get a tapestry of finances together, whether that's using Kickstarter or, you know, finding a couple of angel investors, but to also keep your first film sort of manageable and in terms of the budget. Don't go out and make, you know, Wonder Woman the first time around.
Gillian Robespierre, we had director Julie Dash on the show last year in late September. She talked about breaking into Hollywood as an African-American woman. Listen.
Hollywood is clubby because I believe they see themselves as the curators of culture. Therefore, if you present to them something that they've never heard of before or that it doesn't have anything to do with their personal or familial legacy, they like, thank you for submitting. Thank you for your time. Adios.
Thank you for your time. Adios. Because the curators of culture don't want you in the club.
Yeah. I was lucky that with my first movie, Obvious Child, that it wasn't necessarily the curators who had a say in liking it. It was really the audience was very ready to see this story of a woman having an abortion and having it in a very realistic way. And I think that the community was really excited about Obvious Child, and then maybe Hollywood followed their lead, which was really nice. And it started a conversation with Landline, my latest movie. I went a more traditional route, and the door opened up a little bit, and I worked with a production company through development and shooting it and editing it, and had a more traditional journey of making this movie. And there's pros and cons. You know, it's really nice to have a little bit more money to tell your story. It's nice to have the ability to pay cast and crew a little bit more than, you know, pizza money. But there are challenges when there are more voices and more money involved, for sure.
So it sounds like, Gillian Robespierre, what you're saying is that if this is going to change the representation of women, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera, that you're not going to be able to wait for the Directors Guild to change things, or certainly Hollywood producers, that young women directors just got to do it. They got to raise the money, get grassroots, and make projects that people are going to want to see.
Hopefully it's a combined effort. But yes, I think to break in, it has to be and can only be, at this moment, a little more grassroots than having the door just be the opportunities to be available. Unfortunately, they're just not at this moment.
Gillian Robespierre, co-writer and director of Obvious Child and Landline, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.